This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Pesachim, tape number 5. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klolim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952. This tape is dedicated in memory of Chaim ben Yehuda Leib Krambach, Zecherei Levracha. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Of the fifth parak of Masechta Pesachim, Perek Tamid Nishchat, from Daf Nun Ches, Amud Aleph. We know that there are two types of karbanos. There are zvachim and menachas. Zvachim are animals. These animals need a shechita, and then these animals, after they were shechted, are brought up to the Mizbeach as a karban. Then we have menachas. Menachas are karbanos that come from soila shechitim or soirim. In the area of zvachim, there are seven types of zvachim. These zvachim include a carbon oila, a chatas, an asham, carbon shlamim, bechor, maaser behema, and pesach. The first three of these, the oila, the chatas, and the asham, are called kodshei kodshim. The last four, the shlamim, bechor, maaser behema, and pesach, are called kodshim kalim. Obviously, the kodshei kodshim are more kadosh than kodshim kalim. There are four steps needed to prepare the karban before the haktara and ultimately before the achila. The first step is the shechita. This is slaughtering of the animal. The second step is the kabbalas dam, receiving of the blood into special kelim. The third step is haylachas dam la mizbeach, actually walking the blood to the mizbeach. And the final step is the zrikas dam, sprinkling some of the blood, usually on the side, on the foundation of the mizbeach. The first step, the shechita, anyone can do. Not only can Kohanim do it, but Zarim, anyone else, can do it also. The final three steps, the Kabbalah, Haylacha, and the Zrika, can only be done by the Kohen. The timing of the Karbanos are only by day. And in fact, the Zrika must be done on the same day as the shechita was done. The Haktara, Lechatchila, should also be done on the same day. But b'di'evet, as long as the zrika was on that particular day of the shechita, the haktara of the emurim is mutter actually all night. Now, who is it who can eat the meat from these different karbanos, from these different zvachim? The karban oila, no one eats. All of that is done and is brought to the mizbeach, and no one eats it at all. The kodshei kodshim, only the kohanim can eat. And kodshim kalim, the owners of the carbon can eat it, but they're only allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. How long do the people who are allowed to eat it have until they're not allowed to eat it anymore? Kodshei kodshim can be eaten for a period of 1 day and 1 night. Kodshim kalim can be eaten for a period of 2 days and 1 night. And the carbon pesach can only be eaten on the night of Pesach, the first night of Pesach. If a person waits too long and the zman passes and he has not eaten it yet, the carbon becomes nicer, and if a person eats it, he is chayev karas. Where is it that the karbanos are eaten? Kodshei kodshim can only be eaten within the walls of the Azara. Kodshim kalim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Let's say, however, the meat was taken outside of these places. These places are referred to later on as the mechitzas. In other words, the mechitzas of the Azara are the area where kodshei kodshim can be brought, and the mechitza for kodshim kalim is anywhere in Yerushalayim. If it's taken outside of these machitzas, the basar becomes pasal, and you're not allowed to eat it. And by kachim kachim, kachay kachim, if the meat is taken outside of the azara before the zrika, the entire karban becomes pasal. What if you did one of the four steps, the shechita, the kabbalah, etc., and while you were doing one of these four steps, you had in mind to eat the karban shalai bizmane, outside of the correct time? Then we say that this karban becomes pigal, and if a person eats it, he's chayev karas. Let's say a person had in mind to eat it not chutz lizman, but chutz lemekaymeh, in other words, outside of the correct mechitzas. Then it's pasul, and the carbon becomes pasul. However, if a person eats this meat, he does not get karas, but he's only over on a lav. As we mentioned before, one of the kachim kalim under the category of zvachim is Karban Pesach, and that is the subject of the upcoming 40 blot of Gemara. This is the Iker Mitzvah of Pesach, and the details of Karban Pesach can be found in Parshas Bay in Perek Yud Beis. The Karban Pesach has to be brought from Kvasim or Izim. As the Pasuk says, Se Tamim Zachar Ben Shana. The Zman of the Shechita of the Karban Pesach is the 14th day Bein Harbayim. In other words, on Erev Pesach from 6 hours and on. This is basically after the Zman of Bir Chametz. And the Karban Pesach has to have two conditions. One, it has to be Shechted Liminuyaf, only for the people who are actually counted into the Chabura. And number two, La'eichlov, for people who are capable of eating a full kezayis of the Karban Pesach. And the Zman of eating the Karban Pesach, as we mentioned before, is on the night of Pesach, on the night of Tesvav. Now the Mishnah Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Of the year we bring a Karban Tamid in the morning, and we bring another Karban Tamid in the afternoon, the Tamid Shalbein Ha'arbayim. Normally we see to it that the last Karban of the day is the Tamid, and the first Karban of the day is the Tamid. But on Erev Pesach, regarding the Karban Tamid Shalbein Ha'arbayim, first we do the Tamid, then afterwards we do the Karban Pesach. And the Mishnah says that normally the Tamid is shechted 8.5 hours into the day, and is finished, in other words, it's brought by 9.5 hours into the day. On Erev Pesach, we do it at 7.5 hours, and finish it by 8.5 hours. This is since there were a lot of people there, and we needed extra time to bring the Karban Pesach. We did it a little bit earlier. If Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, then we do the Karban Tamid at 6.5 hours, and we complete it by 7.5 hours, again, to leave more time for the Tzli before Shabbos comes around. The Zmanim of Tamid, we learn from the Pasuk of Esakeves Echad Taseh Ba'abayker V'Esakeves Hasheni Taseh Ben Arabayim, that there are these two Zmanim for bringing the Karban Tamid. And we have here in the Gemara a Machlaikis between Rava and Abaya. In the Machlaikis between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, exactly when on Erev Pesach we bring the Tamid if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Abaya says, according to Rabbi Yishmael, we bring it at 7.5 hours. And Rabbi Akiva says, we bring it at 6.5 hours. According to Rava, in Rabbi Akiva, we bring it at 7.5 hours. And Rabbi Yishmael, we bring it at 8.5 hours. The pshat in Rabbi Yishmael that the Zman is 8.5 hours is because Rabbi Yishmael holds Erev Pesach Shachal Liyais B'Shabbos, means it's Kechal Liyais B'Sheni B'Shabbos. It's equivalent to as if Erev Pesach fell out on Monday. So in other words, just like on Monday you would bring it at 8.5 hours, on Shabbos, you would also bring it at 8.5 hours. The question is, why did he pick Monday as the example? Why didn't he say, just like it falls out on Tuesday, or like it falls out on Wednesday? We say he picked that because we know Rosh Hashanah cannot fall out on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Loi adu reish. Because of this, Pesach cannot fall out on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. That means that the first day, Erev Pesach, can fall out after Shabbos is on Monday. That's why he used Monday as the example. And it's interesting, if you want to be able to remember exactly what day of the week, or in order to figure out what days of the week the different Yomim Tovim fall out in a particular year, all you have to know is when Pesach comes out. And when you know when Pesach comes out, you can figure out any other Chag of the year. How are you able to remember all this? You just simply work backwards in the Aleph Beis. Let's say, for example, Pesach falls out on a Tuesday. If Pesach falls out on a Tuesday, then we start with the Tav. Tav stands for Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, then, would also fall out on a Tuesday, because the Tav corresponds with the first day of Pesach, which is on a Tuesday. Naturally, if Tisha B'Av is on a Tuesday, Shivasa B'Tamas will also fall out on Tuesday. Then you take the second day of Pesach. Day number two of Pesach is equivalent to the Shin in the Aleph Beis, the second letter from the end. Shin stands for Shavuos. Therefore, whatever Pesach is on a Tuesday, Shavuos will be on a Wednesday. The third day of Pesach is equal to the Resh. That is Rosh Hashanah. And once you know when Rosh Hashanah is, you also know when Sukkot is, and you also know when Shmini Atzeres is. So, for example, in the year where Pesach falls out on Tuesday, the third day of Pesach, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed, is on a Thursday, which means Rosh Hashanah would be on a Thursday. First day of Sukkot would be on a Thursday, and Shmini Atzeres would be on a Thursday. Fourth day is the Kuf, that stands for Kriya. Kriya meaning Simchas Torah. So Simchas Torah in that year would be on a Friday. Day number 5, which is equal to the Tzaddik, is Tzom. Tzom stands for Yom Kippur. And we know that if Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Friday, Yom Kippur is on Shabbos. So if Pesach is on Tuesday, the 5th day after that is Shabbos, Yom Kippur would be equal to Shabbos. The 6th day is equal to the Pei. Pei is equal to Purim. But this is not the Purim in the future, this is the Purim from before. So if in this year Pesach was on Tuesday, Purim in that case would have fallen on the Sunday. The Purim, which we're talking about before that Pesach, would have been on a Sunday. The reason it can't be the following Sunday is because Cheshvan and Kislev mess everything up. Some years they're Chaser, and some years they're Mole. You can't possibly figure out what's ahead. So from this system, once you know when Pesach is, by following the letters of Atbash, you can figure out all the other Chagim for the year. So therefore, going back to our example from before, if Rosh Hashanah cannot be on Wednesday, Pesach cannot be on Monday, and Erev Pesach cannot be on Sunday. So the first possible day that Erev Pesach can fall out is on a Monday. Moving on in the Gemara, we say that it was usher to bring any other carbon before the Tamid Shal Shachar, or any carbon after the Tamid Shal Bein Harabayim. Tafnun Tes. The Tamid of Bein Harabayim was brought before the Karbon Pesach. The Pesach was brought Kaidem L'Ktaris, and the Ktaris was brought Kaidemus L'Neris, the Neris of the Menorah. We then say, Ein lecha davar shakaidem l'tamid shal shachar, ala k'tayres bilvad. And finally, the Gemara says, if a person is mechusar kippurim, for example, he's a mitzayra, and he didn't bring his carbon, he could still bring his carbon even after the tamid on Erev Pesach, because if he wouldn't be able to bring this carbon, he wouldn't be able to eat the carbon Pesach at all. And we say the assay of carbon Pesach, if a person is mevatalis, he's chayev in karis, that's daicha, the mitzvah of hashlama. In other words, the mitzvah that the Tamid has to be the last carbon of the day. Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika says that a person who is mechusar kippurim can even do this particular trick any day of the year. We then say that the only time one is over on the asaya of hashlama is if one is makdir an additional carbon after the carbon bein harbayim. But just to do additional avoda relating to a carbon that was already brought, that's okay. We say that all chatais must precede any oila that goes together with it. That means even a chatas oif is before oila of a behema, except in a case of a mitzayra where it's just the opposite. We learn from the pasuk of oilas shabbas b'shabbatai that only oila shabbas b'shabbatai, v'loy oilas chayl emurim shal chayl b'shabbas. We then have the Mishnah. Normally we know that a carbon brought nat lishma is considered kosher anyways. The exception for this is a Pesach or a Chatas, that if one shechts a Pesach, but he has in mind to bring a Shlomim, for example, it's pasul. And the Mishnah says, by Karban Pesach, if any of the 4 Avodis of the Karban is not done Lishma, in other words, any of the Shechita, Kabbalas Hadam, Hoylochas Hadam, or Zuikas Hadam is not done Lishma, it's pasul. And we say that if there's a combination of Shaloi Lishma and Lishma, it's still considered pasul. Daf Samach. If a person says a Karban is for both two things, Rameir says, twice Lashon Rishon. You look only after the first Lashon that he said. Rabbi Yossi says, af bigmar dvarav nitfas. You can look at both. And we say that if a person shechted a Pesach for people who cannot eat it, in other words, for a person who's sick, or for a person in a different chabura, or an orel, someone who didn't have mila, then it's pasul. But if he shechted it for both people who can and cannot eat it, then it's considered kasha. Pesach, Karban Pesach, sheshachtu b'shar yemais hashana, it was shechted on a different day of the year. If he shechts it lishma, it's considered pasul. But if it's shechted l'shem shlamim, then it's okay. And if it's both lishma and shalei lishma, Rava says it's okay. Stama lishma, we say there's a klal of stama lishma. If someone has no kavan at all regarding a carbon like this, then it's considered kosher, because we say normally a person has in mind, and therefore stama lishma, and it's kosher. Nimnin umayshchen, es yedehem ad sheyishchat. We say that a person can be counted in or counted out of the carbon until the time of the shechita. That's tamachalav. We have a mishnah that says shachtu shalala oichlav v'shalali minuyav. If a person shachted a carbon for someone who cannot eat it, for example, like an orel who's not allowed to eat it, or a person who is not counted into the particular chabura, it's pasul. Lo oichlav v'shalay lo oichlav, a mixture, then it's considered kosher. Shachtu kaidem chatzais, a person shachts it before chatzais, in other words, he does not shacht it bein harabayim, but shachts it after that, then it's pasul. shachtu kaidem l'tamid, then it's also considered kasha. We know normally a Pesach has to be the last carbon of a day. But let's say it was shachted before the tamid, then it's kasher as long as you at least made the zrika after the tamid. The klal here is yeuchar davar, but the Pesach has to be the last carbon of the day, and the klal is yeuchar davar, it's got to be the last one. B'michtzas tachaisu, on this pasuk we learn that the Pesach can only be shechted for the menuya, for the people who are counted into it, but not for anyone else. We then say, Ein machshavas eichlin bezrika. The only machshava psul by the carbon Pesach is a psul that comes by the time of the shechita. This is the shechita of Rabbah. Therefore, if a person has a bad machshava at the time of the zrika, it's still considered okay. Rav Chisda happens to say that it's considered pasul. We then say that the isser of pigol, having a bad machshava to eat it chutz lizmane, at a time you're not supposed to eat it, that can happen during any of the four avoides, but it's only chal if you don't abandon the carbon before the zrika. In other words, the zrika makes it chal. Daf samach beis. Ha'ifem yantav l'chal, if a person bakes something with the kavana on yantav to use it during chal, Rav Chisda says he's laika, and we do not say hayel. Rabbah says ain't a laika, Mishum damrin and hayel v'imiklai lei archim, since it's possible that archim will come. We then say if a person has kavana to include both kashra people in the carbon Pesach and not kashra people, the carbon remains chal. We also say that a carbon Pesach is only kashra with a sheep or a goat that is within the first year of its life. And finally, the Gemara says Bruria, who was the wife of Reb Meir, learned 300 sugyas of Gemara every day, but it took her 3 years to learn Divrei Hayamim. That's how complex it was. And we say that once Divrei Hayamim became concealed, we lost a lot of the Seidus within Divrei Hayamim. Daf Samach Yomel. Reb Meir says, by Karban Pesach, Lai Be'inin Piv V'Libay Shavim. We do not have to have that both what a person says and what a person is thinking in his heart have to coincide. So in a case that the Sheikhet specifically said this Karban is only for Arelim, it's possible. The Rabbanon say, Be'inin Shavim. They do have to be coinciding. Therefore, since the Sheikhet has a machshava to also include people who were circumcised too, what he said doesn't really matter. Therefore, it's kasha. We say that in the Shechita, in general, we have to cut rov of the kaneh and rov of the veshet, both the majority of the windpipe and the food pipe. And Reb Meir says, mafligin b'chatzi, mutter. If a person only cuts part of one pipe, then it's mutter. The Rabbanon say, ein mafligin b'chatzi mater. We do not say this halacha. We then have a Mishnah. We know the Sishchat al Chametz Dam Zivchi. A person cannot shech the Pesach, Karban Pesach, if he owns Chametz. But if a person does, then there's a lav. And we say that if one shechts a Toida inside the Azara, and the 40 breads of the Karban Toida are outside of the wall, these chalas do not become Kaddish. Which walls are we referring to? Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as it's still in Yerushalayim, even if it's outside the walls of the Azara, it's okay. And according to Reish Lakish, even outside the walls of the Azara, it's considered pasul. We say, Ein Laikin Alav She'ein B'Maisa. And finally we say, the people who can be over on the Isser of Leisishchat Al-Chametz Dam Zivchi are only the Chabura, the Sheichet, the Zarek, and the Makrir Emurim. Daf Samach Dalet. Leisishchat Al-Chametz Dam Zivchi only applies to the Karban Pesach, not if you shechted other Karbanos on Pesach. And then we have a Mishnah. The Pesach was roasted by three separate groups. The first group would come in and fill the Azara, and the doors were closed. The Kohanim then blew the Shifras and waited to catch the Dam with gold and silver Kalim, and pass these Kalim with the blood along to the final Kohen, who would sprinkle it, make the Zrika on the Yisoid HaMizbeach. And someone would sing Hallel. And here's a Machlokes. Tosfos says the Leviim would sing Hallel. Rashi says that everyone would sing Hallel. After the animal was skinned, they would burn the emurim, the insides, on the top of the mizbeach, and after it got dark, everyone would roast the Karban Pesach, and they would eat it. The Gemara says that Reb Yitzchak said each group had 30 people minimum, and there's a machlokes here in the Gemara what the fact about closed doors mean. Abaye says the doors closed by themselves, in other words, Soimchen al Hanes, and Rava says that people actually closed it. We say that there was no one greater in Chochmah and Yerushalayim than Akavya ben Mahalalel. And the Gemara also says no one was ever crushed in the Agzara except one particular time when an old man was crushed within, amongst all the people that were in there. We say that all blood receptacles had pointed bottoms, so they could not be put down by one of the Kohanim. We were afraid if the Kohanim would put it down, the blood would dry out. The exception to this was the Lechem HaPanim. The vessels used for the Lechem HaPanim did not have points at the bottom of it, because we were afraid that it would puncture the bread. We say that Shechita, by any carbon for that matter, can be done even by a Zar, a person who is not a Kohen. However, by a carbon, Zrika, Hailocha, and Kabbalah must be done only by a Kohen. We say that we use a lot of different Kohanim to pass the blood from one point to the other until it got to the Mizbeach, because we say, Berayv Am, Hadras, Melech. It's better to have more people doing it. And Rav Shimon ben Lakish said, we learn from the blood passing that each Kohen would take a full container of blood. We learn, Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvahs. And the source of this is a Mechilta in Shmais. And finally, we say that the Zrikas Dam must be put on the Yusayid HaMizbeach. The third group that went in was called the lazy group. In other words, they were called lazy, although someone actually had to be the last group. We say that they were still called the lazy group. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Omer, Eifshel Yailam B'lay Bisam U'B'lay Bursi. Ashrei Mishem Nase Bisam, a person who was involved in good-smelling things. Oy Lai Lami She'um Nase Bursi, a person who was a tanner. So a person who has to deal with bad-smelling things. V'yefshel li'aylem b'lay zcharam u'b'lay nekevas. Ashrei mi shabanav zcharam, oylai mi shabanav nekevas. But the fact of the matter is, although it's oy to those people, the fact is that some people still have to have them. And we see from the Yerushalmi that if those who did it last, but they did it anyway, were still called atzlanim, kol shekein, those who didn't get to do the mitzvah at all, were still called atzlanim. We say that they used to sweep the floor of the Beis HaMikdash to get rid of the blood, and they used to do this even if Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos. And we say this was done Shalei Baratzen Chachamim Asa. Why was it considered Shalei Baratzen Chachamim? Because there was a chashash of Meshavia Gumos. We're afraid they would fill up holes, and we know that this is Asar on Shabbos. And this has to be going according to Rabbi Eliezer, since according to Rabbanan we know Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. The Gemara then says, "Hachaylev b'Shabbos chayev." If a person milks a cow on Shabbos to take out the milk, he's chayev. Why is he chayev? Mishum mefarik, because of separating. And here we have a famous machlekes, which is brought down in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Tzadik Hei. Rashi says that this mefarik is a tolda of dosh. The pshat is he's uncovering the eichel from the animal. We also know as a yesh mefarshim that hold the reason Chaylev is Osir B'Shabbos, is because of Kaitzer. Rashi doesn't like this because it wasn't Mechuber. Since it wasn't Mechuber, how is it possible to have Kaitzer? Taisvis and the Meiri bring down from Dafayin Gimel Amid Beis, they ask the following question. How can Rashi say that Chaylev is considered a Tolda of Dash, which is equal to Mefarik? We have a klal that Ein Disha Ela Bigadule Karka. So Rabbeinu Tam learns that milking is a Tolda of mamachek, of smoothing. In other words, a person is like smoothing the udder, therefore that's why he's chayev. And the Meiri and the Rajba answer that since behemoths get their nutrition from the ground, they are considered like gedulei karka. The Gemara even says that if blood fell on the floor, the blood from the kli fell onto the floor, it's okay to pick up this blood and then to make the zrika with this blood. So we ask, maybe it never got into the kli at all and it fell onto the ground. So we answer, Kohanim Zrizimheim. Therefore, it's not possible for it to have completely fallen on the floor without even getting into the Kalim at all. Rabbi Yehuda holds, even if both good and bad dam get mixed up, it's still okay to use this for the Zrika, because Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. And since here it's Min Deminai, therefore this little bit of Dam Kusher is not Batel to the Dam, which is not good, and you could still use it for the Zrika. Dam which is on the floor is not considered a Chatzitza, between the floor and the feet of the Kohanim, as long as the dam remains lach, it remains soft and watery. Once it becomes yavesh, however, it is considered a chatzitza. Now, why is there an afkamina between a davar lach and a davar yavesh regarding a chatzitza? This, of course, has ramifications in halacha to someone who is taivel, a woman who is taivel in a mikvah, who is a nida. There's two pshatim here. One pshat is the pshat of the re'aim and the mordechai, which is brought down in Yeredeya, Simen Kuf Tzarekhas. The reason there's an afkamina is because a davar lach on the skin of a person a person is not makpid on a davar lach, because this davar lach is going to fall away, it's going to be removed from the person's skin anyway. Mashenken a davar, which is a davar yavesh, a person is very makpid on, because it's not going to fall away easily. Therefore, that's why a davar yavesh is considered a chatzitza, while a davar lach is not considered a chatzitza. Taisvis in Chulin, Daf Chaf Beis, brings down a different nafkamina. He says a thing which is a lach, the mayim of the mikveh can penetrate and get through the davar lach, and therefore the mayim could touch the guf anyway. That's why it's not considered a chatzitza. Mashenke in a davar yavesh, the mayim of the mikveh cannot penetrate through, therefore that is considered a chatzitza. The nafkamina between these two pshatim, pshat and taisvis and chulin, and the pshat from the Mordechai and the Reim, is as follows. If a woman is makpid on a particular davar lach, normally we say that a person is not makpid on a davar lach, but if a woman is makpid on something which is a davar lach, so according to the first pshat of the Reim and the Mordechai, since a person is makpid on it, therefore even when it's a davar lach, it's still considered a chatzitza. Mashenken, according to the second pshat, where it's totally in the mayim of the mikveh being able to penetrate, so it doesn't matter if the woman is makpid or not. The fact of the matter is the metzias is a mikveh, the mayim of the mikveh could penetrate a davar lach, so even if a woman is makpid on this particular davar lach, it doesn't matter. Since the mikveh can get through, the mayim of the mikveh can get through, it is not considered a chatzitza, even in the case of a davar lach. We then say that people used to walk home with the Pesach slung across their shoulders, and Reb Ilish says this was the derech of the Arab merchants. The question is, does it really matter what the derech of the Arab merchants was? Who cares? The Ivitz explains that this shows us that it's kedai for a person to be mevaza himself in order to do a mitzvah. In other words, here where a person slings it across his shoulder, it's a little bit of a busha to walk around like that. But since a person is going to do a dvar mitzvah, this teaches us that it's okay to be mevaza themselves a little bit, because after all, you're doing a mitzvah. We then have a Mishnah that says if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, it's okay to do the shechita, the zrika, the draining of the insides and the burning of the fat, even on Shabbos. But we're not allowed to roast or rinse the insides of the carbon on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says, Kol molecha she'efshala asayse me'erev Shabbos ein adoiches haShabbos. That's why you're not allowed to do this. And Rabbi Eliezer says, Hechsher mitzvah is also adoiche Shabbos. That's why he would say that even these things are mutter to do on Shabbos. Daf Samach Vav. Why is this machlaikis only here by carbon Pesach and not by all other carbonis? So we answer, all others are carbon tzibur. That's why they're daicha Shabbos. Mash enkein the carbon Pesach, which is a carbon yachid. It's a machlekes to the what extent you're allowed to be daicha Shabbos. We say that the Bnei B'Seira in Eretz Yisrael forgot the halacha in this particular case. So Hillel HaBavli, who learned by Shmaya Vavtalion, came along and he said that it's okay, just like other 200 carbonis, which are brought on Shabbos, the 50 tmidin, which are brought both in the morning and at night, and the 50 Musafim, which are brought twice on Shabbos, totaling a total of 200, just like those are brought on Shabbos, this could also be brought on Shabbos. And we know this from Gezeirah Shavah. By Pesach it says Mayadai, and by Tamid it says Mayadai. Just like the Tamid is okay to bring on Shabbos, the same with the Karban Pesach. Also, from a Karban Pesach, from a Kal V'Chomer. If the Tamid where there's no Karas, if you don't bring it, and it's Daicha Shabbos, surely from a Karban, for a Karban Pesach, which does have Karas, you would be allowed to be like a Shabbos. And because of all this information which they received from Hillel HaBavli, they made him the Nasi. And we say that if someone forgot the knife, he can put it, kil achar yad, between the horns of a goat in order to carry it. And Taisu says that at that time it was usher to carry stam outside the walls, since the walls of Yerushalayim were nifrats. In the days of Hillel, no one was ever moil, since he advised everyone to first bring this carbon to the Azara when it was chulin, and then to shecht it immediately. We then bring down Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Anyone who is too proud of his chachma, he's too proud of himself, he will lose his chachma immediately, very quickly. As it says, Kol misyarim chachma, hu chachmase mistalekes mimenu. Im navihu, nivuase mistalekes mimenu. Im chacham hu, chachmase mistalekes mimenu. And we learn this from a number of different places.